Welcome back, Packer fans. It's Aaron Nagler here on Nagler's Never Right. The offseason keeps rolling. Things keep happening. I keep talking about them. You keep listening. And around we go. What's up, everyone? That's right. The Packers allowing former tight end Richard Rodgers to sign with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Packers had preliminary talks with Rodgers at the start of the offseason, but nothing substantial. They didn't really ever show any kind of urgency to bring him back. Rodgers ended up signing a one-year deal with the Eagles. He is clearly moving on, and the Packers are pretty much overhauling their tight end position. Clearly, they've brought in Jimmy Graham. They still have Lance Kendricks on board and Emmanuel Byrd, who saw a little bit of action at the end of last year. You have to think they'll be looking at the tight end position in the draft. Richard Rodgers, I was asked a couple of times on Twitter if I considered him a successful pick. I always find that interesting. And you have to think, you know, given the fact that they didn't re-sign him and his modest production, especially towards the end of his Packers career, for a third-round selection, yeah, that's a disappointing pick. You want selections in that part of the draft to be kind of form the core of your team. And, you know, Richard was a pro, or is a pro. You know, he's a solid player. But he certainly didn't ever develop into anything close to what the Packers need at the tight end position in their offense. Clearly, that has to be considered a disappointment. Now, that doesn't disparage the player. That doesn't mean that he is, like I said, not an excellent pro, which he is. I have little doubt the Eagles will find use for him. But, you know, the Packers are trying to get better at that spot. And I don't think it's a huge loss. Clearly, his blocking was subpar. He had excellent hands. He had basically cement blocks for feet. Some of the worst yards after catch I've ever seen from the tight end position. So the decision to move on is not a hard one, I don't think, for Brian Gutekunst and company. And it's funny because someone left a message on my Facebook page saying, you know, what is going on? All these Ted Thompson picks walking out the door, I think alluding obviously to Rodgers and Morgan Burnett. And look, yeah, I mean, Gutekunst wants to make the roster his own. And re-signing an aging safety who's having trouble staying on the field or an ineffective tight end, I don't think that's how you get better. I don't think that's how, you know, keeping guys around who have proven to be either ineffective and or, you know, less than a transcendent player, an excellent player, then I don't really see the urgency there to re-sign those type of guys. And I think, you know, what Gutekunst is doing is smart. You know, he wants to allocate those resources elsewhere. He will undoubtedly do things through the draft, whether it is acquiring players those first 2 days to help fill roster spots or packaging picks to maybe move up, possibly landing a contributor or two on those first 2 days. More than anything, I think he's counting on, you know, development from within. So, you know, we've talked about it before, guys like Ontravius Adams, who barely played last year and barely contributed, guys like Vince Beagle, who seriously could help the Packers at the spot they are desperate for help in, you know, rushing the passer on the edge rush. So I think more than anything, you're going to want to see development there. And, you know, panicking to re-sign guys who have pretty much shown you what they are and needing to do better at those spots, I don't think it's I don't think that's smart business. And I pretty much agree with Gutekunst's decision to let those guys walk out the door. And it's funny because now I'm getting lots of questions about Devon House. So they have to bring Devon House back. You know, at the beginning of the offseason, I don't think anybody was saying they have to bring Devon House back. One of the first Facebook Live chats I had at the end of the year was saying, okay, to improve the defense, one of the first things they have to do is improve at corner and move on from Devon House. And at the time, I think a lot of the feedback I got was, you know, people were agreeing, readers were agreeing. And now it's funny. Now there's clamoring for Devon House. I tell you what, if I'm the general manager, I would much rather stick a Lindsey Pipkins or Donatello Brown out there. You know, heck, even a Quentin Rollins. I'd much rather stick those guys out there. There's chance for improvement. There's chance for development there. With Devon House, you know what you got. And I don't discount his effort. I don't discount his ability on the field. He's an inconsistent player who can sometimes give you a run of good play. He's also going to give you a run of bad. He's a pro. He's a vet. Clearly, some of that is valuable, but you brought back Tremont Williams. He's your veteran leader right now, and I don't really think that Devon House gives you much beyond, like I said, an inconsistent player who's not going to help you get better. He can probably teach those young guys how to be a pro, but, I mean, Tremont Williams has got that ability on lockdown. We'll see what they do with House. I know they were supposed to be talking to him this week. I haven't heard anything positive or negative in that regard. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they brought him back, but it also wouldn't surprise me if they decided to just move on. So we'll see what happens in that development. Another thing that you may have seen on PackersNews.com was my colleague Ryan Wood spoke with Jari Evans about the possibility of returning. He is open to it, and the Packers clearly, I think, have kept communication lines open, but I don't think they want to rush into anything in regards to bringing him back. I'm pretty sure that, I guess there's a possibility they could wait until, after the draft. But I tend to think they'll want to go younger there. I know Evans did yeoman's work filling in. He was a great signing. For all the grief that Ted Thompson got for the, Martellus Bennett situation, very few people bring up what a great signing Jari Evans was. I mean, he absolutely locked down that right guard spot for very little money. It was kind of almost an afterthought in free agency since it happened right before the draft last year. But that's a really shrewd signing. And now that said, I think Justin McCray has shown that he can hold that spot down. I think you got to go young there, and they'll clearly look to the draft to bolster both guard and tackle. If they get past the draft and they still don't feel good about the guard depth chart, and they think, they want to bring Evans back for, some veteran depth, so to speak, I guess that makes some sense. The problem is he's not exactly position versatile, which is what they like in their backups. And, he's going to be at least, having to be paid the veteran's minimum. It makes sense if they feel they don't have anything on hand that can get the job done at the guard spot, but I think they do in Justin McCray. So we'll see how they feel about it. Like I said, the guy did excellent work last year. There's no doubt that his contributions last year were excellent and way above his pay grade. The other bit of news coming out earlier this morning, I'm recording this late on Thursday afternoon, the Packers announcing that they're holding their shareholders meeting on July 25th, and for the first time, they are going prime time. Going in the evening, I believe I saw 7 p.m., so under the lights, so to speak. It'll be interesting to see how that works. I know the players will be arriving earlier in the day for the start of training camp. They haven't announced dates for training camp yet, so hold off on setting up your excursions to Lambeau. I know their Packers are set to announce plans for their 100th anniversary, 100 years. You got to think there'll be tons of stuff going on in and around Lambeau that week. It's funny because I know Mark Murphy had expressed a bit of disappointment with the crowd number last year, and they had hoped that people would stay around for a long weekend, and that didn't really materialize. So I wonder if some of this is about trying to not hold it during the day, during a work day, and trying to have it at night so maybe a few more people show up. It's towards the end of summer, so people can still make a kind of trip of it, the kids off school, whatever. But it'll be interesting to see how they handle that, and it'll be Brian Gutekunst's first time addressing the shareholders, so to speak, as the general manager. I do wonder if he and Russ Ball would both speak now that they've split that. Ted Thompson's job title basically demanded that he had to get up there and talk to everybody as an executive vice president. But now you've got Russ Ball with that title, but not the general manager. I wonder if they'll have both guys talk. I tend to doubt it. I think it'll be just Gutekunst, but we'll see. The other thing I wanted to kind of draw your attention to was my colleague Pete Doherty's to-do list for Brian Gutekunst over the next month into the draft, just past it, etc. I thought Pete did a great job of lining up exactly what needs to happen. Starting with the outside rusher, that spot has kind of vexed the Packers the last few years. As Pete notes, and I agree, you thought going into the last two drafts, okay, well, Thompson's got to come away with an edge rusher early in this draft. And he didn't, obviously. Clearly, he went with Beagle later last season. But here we are again, third year in a row, saying, oh, they've got to come up with an outside rusher at some point early in this draft. And Pete and I were talking a couple weeks ago, and Pete had said, they got to do it. And I said, they could surprise us again. New guy in charge. We don't know how he feels about it. Clearly there are a few trades made this offseason. Robert Quinn from the Rams to the Dolphins. Jason Pierre-Paul from the Giants to the Bucks. So there were options out there. There may still be a player or two available, come draft week. We'll see. But for the most part, you got to think Gutekunst is counting on development from within and possibly getting somebody in the draft. The other position Pete noted was the tight end spot, and we just talked about it a little bit at the top, but to me, this is probably more dire than edge rusher because, this is the third year in a row they've paid big money to go out and get the premium tight end in free agency. And at some point, you got to stop doing that. You got to draft your own. There have been athletic tight ends on offer the last two drafts, and Packers have pretty much passed. They obviously took Richard Rodgers 4 years ago, but they've done nothing at that position since in the draft. And there have been prospect after prospect staring them in the face that they have just passed on. So I'll be interested to see if they take a swing at somebody like Hayden Hurst or Dallas Goedert, all those guys in this draft who, Hurst and Goedert at least can at least block. They're complete tight ends. The rest of them are exciting, but they're more wide receiver than full tight end, which I think Hurst and Goedert really are. Tight end remains an issue and something that I think they have to. They just have to address. And then next up, Pete noted the offensive line is in need, especially around that right tackle spot with Brian Bulaga's torn ACL really drawing into question his availability at the beginning of the year. I've said it all offseason. I think they have to assume that he will be on he will start the year on PUP and be unavailable those first six games. And if that is the case, are they going to count on Jason Spriggs coming back from his dislocated kneecap? I know McCarthy had expressed confidence and, said that he's ahead of schedule, but even if he's fully healthy, that guy didn't look ready for prime time. He looked like he's been regressing every year he's been in the league. Kyle Murphy, he's a huge question mark. I don't know. I think they have to address that in the draft. And obviously they've had a lot of success on the third day finding guys who can come in and play. I wonder if this is the year they go early again, maybe first, second round. Because, look, you've got Aaron Rodgers back there. He's on the back nine of his career. You got to keep him protected. And, it would be foolish not to try and, develop the most resources you can, spend the capital that you need to protect your franchise quarterback, especially as you're on the cusp of making him the highest paid player in the NFL. It just makes sense. And finally, cornerback. Obviously, this is a spot where the Packers have done a lot of drafting, and it just hasn't worked out. They've traded away Demaryius Randall. Quentin Rollins ended the year on IR with the Achilles injury, and prior to that, he had not played well. They let Casey Hayward walk out the door. It's been a rough stretch here at the cornerback spot. Now, Kevin King showed promise. There's no doubt in my mind that he will bounce back from that shoulder issue, and he looks to be A-OK 100% heading into this season. I think he has he's shown a lot of promise. I'm not ready to say he's a lockdown corner by any means, but I think you got to be excited about his play if you're the Packers. And then the other side, I think Tremont Williams will be able to hold things down, but you've got to find some more youth there. And I'm not necessarily saying you have to draft him in the first round. This draft in particular is deep at the cornerback spot. I think you can find starters in the second and third round, guys who can step in week one in the NFL and contribute. But, man, they've swung and missed a lot here, and they've got to turn their fortunes around, so to speak. And that was Pete's to-do list. I obviously agree with all of it. Make sure you check it out at PackersNews.com and all of our coverage. We've got tons of stuff going on. Tom Silverstein's reporting, interest in pre-draft visits. Ryan just did the great piece with Jari Evans. Michael Cohen has a piece coming out about the safety position, about the young guys being able to step up. We got to do it. We got it. If it's happening with the Packers, we're all over it. Rich Rieman, all over the shareholders meeting. If it's Packers related, we've got it for you. In the meantime, make sure you're checking PackersNews.com. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for downloading, making this part of your weekly Packers routine. Can't thank you guys enough. I'll talk to you guys next week here on Nagler's Never Right.